Good morning and welcome to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris MacLea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time, we are studying Jesus' Pierian ministry and the ending of the miracles in that time period. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 16. We're going to look at a text most of us are familiar with, and that is in verses 19 through 31, and the rich man and Lazarus, the great divide. Let's go to our text and go through it now, beginning in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's bosom, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now, first, we need to consider the truth about hell. We are living in an age of doubt concerning the truth of the Word of God. Now man may have educated himself into the belief that the Word of God is little more than a fairy tale, but the Bible is still God's Word. It is still the inspired breath of God, and it is still truth and believable in every way. There is quite possibly no teaching today that is questioned and doubted and disbelieved than the doctrine of the reality of hell. A man that believes in the reality of hell as taught in the Scripture, and that it is the destination of the broad road and the majority of people will reside there for eternity, is branded as old-fashioned or out of touch with reality. At best, a fool or an ignorant caveman. Most individuals today say that intellectual thinking tells us that the idea of an eternal hell where sinners suffer in torment for eternity is ridiculous and insulting. The liberal says that it is contrary to all that God teaches, for after all, God is love. Others believe that hell is reserved only for the most extreme despots of the ages. But let's consider what the Word has to say about this place called hell. It does not make any difference what you think or what I think about the place. The only thing of importance is what God thinks about the matter. If you are currently destined for hell, today is your chance to change your course. It is also a reminder to the redeemed that the majority are headed for hell, and we must do all we can to reach as many as we can with the message of Jesus Christ. So let's consider some truth about hell. One fact about hell is that it is a real place. In verse 23 it said, "And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." In verse 28 it said, "For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." The text treats hell as being as real as any other place, just as real as heaven. Abraham's bosom equals heaven. The place of torment equals hell. You can't have one without the other. If heaven or hell is real, you must also have the other one. Oddly, polling shows about 70% of Americans believe in heaven, but only about 55% believe in hell. But Jesus believed in the reality of hell. Obviously, our text today in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, gives evidence to that. But also consider Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched." Hell is the complete separation from the presence of the Almighty God. Matthew 22:13, "Then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" 2 Peter 2:17, "These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And Jude, verse 13, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And one more, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Hell is a real place and a horrible destination. The next we need to consider that hell is a place that will be filled with real people. Verse 22 says, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." The rich man was somebody's son. He likely left a wife behind. He probably had children. He certainly had brothers that were on his mind. Verse 28, for I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Hell will be the eternal home of many people that each of us know personally, probably even some loved one. For hell will be the destination of every individual that rejects Jesus Christ. People that did not have time for God will be there. Will you be there? And then let's consider that hell is a place that contains real punishments. Look at verses 23 to 25. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Notice the language used. It couldn't be any more plain that hell is a place of pain and torment. Yet many feel that this is symbolic. But they had better hope not, for symbolism is only used when conventional language is inadequate to describe something. The reality is, symbolism in the Bible is always worse than the symbol. Consider some of these real torments that hell contains. It is a place of unquenchable fire. Mark 9, verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. And in our text in Luke 16, in verse 24, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It is also a place of memory and remorse. Notice verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. He said, Son, remember. And then notice verses 27 and 28. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place. Hell is a place of intense and unsatisfied thirst. Notice verses 24 and 25. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Those verses also point out that hell is a place of misery and pain. He said, I am tormented in this flame. He wanted Lazarus just to put a drop of water on his tongue to cool him off. I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. We see that hell is a place of frustration, a place of anger. Luke 13 and verse 28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Matthew 24 and verse 51, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And perhaps worst of all, it is a place of eternal separation. Eternal separation from what? It is eternal separation from everything that is good and beautiful. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One more, let's note that it's a place of undiluted wrath. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. In hell, God's fury will be unleashed. There will be no rainbow in hell. Nothing that holds God's fury back from those that have earned the wages of their destination. If for nothing else, these things ought to make everyone want to be saved. Some ask the question, what if it isn't true? Instead, let's ask the question, what if it is? Where do you want to spend eternity? For it is an eternal abode just like heaven. Hell guarantees real permanence. Verse 26 in our text said, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to here. The rich man was told that he had to stay there, and he is still there today. If you die outside of Jesus Christ, you will most certainly go to hell. And if you go to hell, you will be there forever. Revelation chapter 20, notice with me verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, we can plainly see what hell is, but now let's consider what hell is not. Hell, as some would want you to believe, is not annihilation. Again, Revelation tells us much. Revelation 19 in verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast in alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Chapter 20 and verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Notice back to our text now, verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from you here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to here. We see that hell is not a temporary place of purging or refining. It is permanent. Some believe hell is simply the grave, but hell is not the grave. For notice verses 22 and 23. And so it was that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Hell is not a parable. It is not a scare tactic. It is a reality. And it is waiting for you if you are outside of Jesus Christ today. But the comfort is in verses 27 through 31, where we find, though, that hell can be avoided through a real promise. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And so the rich man is told that the word of God holds the answer. It still does today. It tells us of God's love for sinners. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It tells us of God's love for sinners, and it tells us of Christ's death to save sinners. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ's resurrection, that is what guarantees eternal life to all who come to him by obedient faith. Those that come believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and walking faithfully till death. Are you in that number? I want to thank you for joining me today. I look forward, if the Lord wills, to us being together again next week at this same time here on Studies in the Gospels. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website archives in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a blessed day.